This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, Ryan Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Jay Hood on assignment tonight. But again, if you want to hear his wrestling takes, always listen SiriusXM Busted Open Radio Sunday mornings. You can catch him from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. But we are still reacting to the Royal Rumble and the news off of that. If you want to see our immediate reactions after the show, also check that out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. We did a live recap show. If you want to hear our complete thoughts on the Royal Rumble, but now we have our two winners. We have Charlotte, we have Jay. Both came out on Monday night during Raw to cut promos, as they both have yet to make an official decision, even though it kind of seemed like Jay made an official decision during the press conference after the Royal Rumble, but we digress. I guess he's not made an official decision. Although I think we kind of have an idea of where both of these are going to eventually end up. And we've got a little bit of extra time before WrestleMania this year, as it's going to be in the middle of April instead of more the beginning. So we've still got right around 2 months, 2.5 months before WrestleMania. So the question to start today, Brian, is, who is going to have the more interesting run to WrestleMania? Is it going to be Jay or is it going to be Charlotte?
So we talked a lot on Saturday and our reaction to Jay winning, and I have been very outspoken about, well, I don't really believe in Jey Uso. And it was a big moment on Monday and he was emotional and this and that. But that reaction to Charlotte makes me think that this is going to be a rough go of things for Charlotte. She is pouring her heart out. She feels, and she's trying to be that baby face, and Cleveland wanted nothing of it. So based on that, the lesser of two evils, I think Jey Uso will be more entertaining over the next couple months.
Really? Because I lean towards Charlotte. Because I think Jey is pretty cookie cutter at this point, right? Like, he's going to eventually choose, Gunther, and it's going to be kind of similar to the story that was told last year with Gunther and the international champion in the IC title with Sami Zayn. Oh, can't win the big one. Then he finally goes over at WrestleMania, which, again, that is a pretty basic story to tell in professional wrestling. It's the reason why it gets told over and over again, because it still does end up being entertaining. But I think I'm going to be more entertained by Charlotte, because very clearly Hunter wanted to bring her back as a babyface. They thought that she was going to get the cheers, and now they're going to have to pivot. And like, it's funny because right around this time last year, they ended up pivoting with Rock, right? Like, and he even got like the babyface return when he initially showed up on SmackDown. They had to pivot. Like, secretly, Hunter's kind of been bad at booking, like, Royal Rumbles.
Yes.
Like, kind of secretly. Like, we kind of looked past it, but having Cody win last year when your plan was to go to The Rock initially, like, I've got questions about that, right? Yeah. Like, I've got some, it seems like not a great idea if that's what you ultimately wanted to do. And again, they were able to pivot, though, and they gave us a great run to WrestleMania. Some of that, again, is their ability to pivot. A lot of that was The Rock, who, yep, I'm a heel now. I am fully gone, and I'm buying into this. So my guess is Charlotte, who has been better as a heel. Like, she just hasn't been a great babyface, I think, in her time in WWE. Like, her pivoting to a heel character, like, that's, maybe that's what eventually we'd have gotten anyway. Because it's not like Tiffy's a heel. It's not like, I mean, Rhea's super over. So whoever she ends up choosing, it kind of seems like she would have to be, you know, the heel versus the babyface anyway.
Well, Tiffy's
but clearly they're going to have
heel,
to pivot
though.
Now.
Isn't Tiffy supposed to
What's
be
that?
A heel?
No. Why is Tiffy supposed to be?
Because like the arrogance and like the way she backstabbed Nia, who I guess is a heel also. I don't know. She's.
Yeah, I was about to say, Nia's a heel. She backstabbed the heel, therefore making her a babyface. Okay. Like, come on, this is wrestling 101, Brian. So honestly, I think because of the reaction she got, I am now more interested in Charlotte. And I honestly felt bad for her because she was out there like pouring her heart out, man. Because she has been such an interesting character, I think, in the landscape of her career, because she got into it because of her brother. Yep. Right. She wanted this is something her brother Reed really wanted to do. And she ended up getting into it. Obviously, her brother, untimely passing. And she kind of uses him as motivation throughout her entire career. So like her getting into it, like, yeah, she liked wrestling. I don't know how much she loved wrestling, but obviously she loves it as she continued to go with her career in it. And for it to be taken away from her for 14 months, have obviously had to have some sort of complication with the knee. for it to take this long, right? And she talked about in her promo on Monday, like, hey, I wasn't sure if my knee was going to get ready. Like, I, you know, so for that to almost get taken away, and, you know, she tries to win the crowd over, man. Like, go ahead, boo me. I love all of you. Like, okay, there's still the boo. I think I'm more interested in Charlotte because of the reaction that I was not anticipating. So I'm really curious to see where they go with this. And for the first time in a long time, I'm like buying into, all right, this could get really interesting.
So a couple parts of that. So with the Charlotte side of things, this just feels like a path we've been down. Like, she's going to lean into it. I think she's a professional in that manner. She's going to realize, oh, they're not going to cheer me. So she's going to lean in. She's going to be the cocky heel. She's going to be the arrogant heel. And the up-and-comer Tiffy isn't on her level. And the way that Charlotte is booked, Charlotte probably goes over at Mania. And all of a sudden, Tiffy title run is over. Like, we've seen that. If it ends with Tiffy winning, I'm into it. But everything up to that just feels like, all right, been there, done that already when it comes to the women's division.
Yeah, but again, I think this could be a different if it, and they have to slow burn it. They've got no other option but to kind of slow burn this heel turn potentially for Charlotte. Maybe that's what they would have had to do anyway. But, you know, Charlotte's going to be showing up on our televisions all over the place, you know, until she actually officially makes that decision. Again, I feel like ultimately she's going to end up on SmackDown and challenging Tiffy, and because that just, I think, makes the most sense. As Rhea noted, like, we've right. seen those two at WrestleMania before. Not that we can't do a rematch, but I just feel like there are better options at this point for Rhea Ripley. So I think she ends up against Tiffany Stratton. If she puts Tiffy over, yeah, I think that could end up being a really good story. Because here's the thing, like not every champion is going to lose their title at WrestleMania, right? Like, we're anticipating Jay to go over Gunther, right, and complete that kind of loop. You know, I guess at this point, is Cena the favorite to be facing Cody?
I guess.
And at that point, is he favored to go over Cody? Like, I'm not quite sure what the direction is with the WWE Championship. Like, you know, just because you win the Rumble doesn't mean that you are going to be going over. And I think there's a decent enough chance that she ends up taking the pinfall at Mania.
Well, so that's the weird thing, is you talk about Hunter being bad at booking Rumbles. I think the Women's Rumble was a perfect opportunity to have the surprise we got in Jey Uso. Because as we sit here in early February, I don't think either Rumble winner is going to be in a true main event spot. Like, they're both mid-card matches at this point.
You don't think that Jay Gunther is going to close night one? It's going to close night.
We're going to talk about,
like, he is so over. Like, night one ending with a crowd of 80,000 people yeeting, and like the drone shot of all the people waving their arms up and down as Uso is the world heavyweight champ. Like, that's too good of a moment for to pass up.
Even in a world
for Hunter to close out night.
But
one.
Even in a world where you might have Cody, Cena, and Punk, Rollins, Roman.
Somebody needs to explain to me Punk, Rollins, Roman, like, I'm five.
Agreed.
All right? I don't get it.
But you think those two are going to just be a random mid-card match?
Oh, no. Roman's not wrestling for the title. He's opening up one of the nights, man. That might open up night one so he can get the hell out of town.
That's the weird part. I don't know. Like, and the other part with me when it comes to Jay, part of me starts to think it might not be Gunther on the other side.
So, okay. I could get into Jay versus Cody. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, honestly, because you've got a question later that we will address. And that is a matchup that I floated in my head because, you know, somebody, you know, he's the winner of the Rumble. He's supposed to be in the main event. And WWE has played fast and loose with what main event has meant in the past. But, you know, you can only have so many main event spots. But Jay versus Cody? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I can get into that. And especially, I mean, I guess I don't know who would emerge. But again, I guess if Cena actually then wins Elimination Chamber, like, I'm more into Cena versus Gunther than I would be Cena versus Cody.
I completely agree with both those. I mean, the other one is, do you find a way to take it off of Gunther beforehand? Like, I don't know the path there. We were very disappointed that it wasn't KO on Saturday taking it off of Cody. Could we do KO and Jay at Mania? Because I'd be into that.
I would also be into that. The problem is I don't know how you'd get to that. Because at this point, like, you're already booking the Elimination Chamber. Like, you basically just put both champions on ice for the next 2.5 months. Which I don't like.
Agreed.
I really don't like. Because there have been times where they've defended the championships inside of Elimination Chamber. Like famously, that's where Bray Wyatt won a WWE championship. So, but by setting it up the way that they have of, oh yeah, whoever wins this Rumble, or excuse me, whoever wins the Elimination Chamber gets to face the champion at WrestleMania that Jey Uso doesn't choose. Like, you're kind of putting both those guys on ice. So I can't imagine that Gunther or Cody are going to be wrestling at Elimination Chamber in Toronto.
That would be back-to-back PLEs with no defense for Gunther. Like, the part that keeps tripping me up is the fact that we saw Gunther and Jey at Saturday Night Main Event already, which was essentially a throwaway title match, which either, like we've heard, maybe they just weren't sure what they were doing with the Rumble yet, or that's part of the swerve where it's like, all right, we saw it, it worked, but we're going to go a different direction.
Yeah, and I just have a hard time believing that as far in advance as Hunter seems to want to plan, that he didn't know who was going to be winning the Rumble. Like, maybe he didn't know how, but you kind of have an idea, right? Like, I feel like he's been in this long-term story. Although, again, they had to pivot last year.
They said he found out that morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe they just decided they didn't really know what direction to go and decided that it would have a great moment. And again, led to another great moment in Monday Night Raw as he came out. So, I guess that's possible, but... Yeah, I mean, look, Jey versus Cody could be wildly interesting. Yeah. And I think, and then honestly, that changes the answer to this question. If Jey chooses Cody, that's going to be a more entertaining path, because then is Cody going to start leaning into some of those heel tendencies that CM Punk was hinting at in his promo with Cody before the Royal Rumble? Like, you've got a number of different things and different twists and turns you could take down that road. But if it ends up being what we think it is, and it's Jey versus Gunther and Charlotte versus Tiffy, I still need Torch.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope it'll be a big spot for Tiffy. I'm cautiously optimistic she would go over. I mean, if we look at the three women's champions, the most entertaining matchup for Charlotte might be in NXT again. I know we've gone down that path, but her and Julia would be fun.
Yes, it would be fun, but come on, man. I agree. Keep doing this. We can't keep pretending like NXT is on the same level as the Women's World Champion or the WWE Women's Champion. Agreed. We just can't keep doing that.
Tiffy, that could be a big spot for her. I just feel like Charlotte is so paint by numbers and just by the book. And I feel like they almost went into it saying, like, all right, face Charlotte, who the crowd feels for, is going to be a nice twist of things. And then the crowd is like, nah, we're not doing that. So now all of a sudden,
I don't know why the crowd even booed her. It doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. I mean, some of those vignettes were sort of heely, like, you know, oh, I'm the best, like, I'm this and that. Like, they had that heel edge to it. And I just feel like people are sort of tired of Charlotte. Like, I think that might play.
She's been gone for 14 months.
I know.
Like, they were booing her like she's Jericho or something.
I was going to use the Cena comparison, but Cena at least, like, went away and people seem into him now. Like, you don't hear Cena sucks anymore.
No, if you do, it's just kind of out of the respect thing. Like, you know, like the chanting when Kurt Angle was around, chanting the "you suck," even though he was like a babyface commissioner or GM, wherever he was. Like that's kind of more of the, you know, the "let's go Cena sucks" chant is just fun. So if it breaks out, it breaks out. But I don't know, man. Like, I guess I kind of miss Charlotte. I like having Charlotte around. She's an interesting character. Like, I don't want her to go away. I'm not ready for her career to be.
No, I agree with that. I just wish it was been someone else in that spotlight. Like, she has been the one that has been front and center the entire time. Like, look at just the horsewomen. And I would argue she's the least interesting of the four. Like, that she is the one that's been front and center and been in those main events and winning those big matches. She is being Cena-esque, that her winning the Rumble just felt unnecessary.
Well, I made that argument. She's Charlotte Flair. Right. Like, she could, if you want to put her in a championship match, like, hey, I'm a 14 time, kind of like Cena is the 16 time champ. Is like, hey, I'm going to be in this. Like, do the same thing with Charlotte. Like, it's that easy. She's 14 time women's champ. Hey, I'm Charlotte Flair. I'm going to be challenging for this championship. But again, the issue becomes, because here's the other thing. If we're going to be talking about these women's matches, but I don't know who's coming out of the women's elimination chamber. I know who's going in it. I don't know who's coming out. So I don't know who the matchup for Rhea Ripley is right now.
Is it Bianca?
I mean, they got to take the tag titles off them somehow then, don't they? But if Jade Cargill is, like, I don't know. What does Jade do? Right. She got to be in Jade's corner. Like, I think there's some things to be told, you know, settled there. So I don't know. I don't know who Rhea ends up facing at
Mania. I mean, is there a, it's quick, but is there a way to get it? Jordynne Grace? Like, we know whatever Rhea does is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I guess I lean towards, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
Because it was, we had Bianca on this show, and she said Rhea's her dream Mania opponent. She said the two of them is just sort of in parallel without ever running into each other. That's a match that steals the show.
But it also kind of feels like they'd be out of nowhere.
Yes, I agree with that.
But again, right now, anybody's going to be out of nowhere. Because unless it ends up being Liv Morgan, which I don't think we need to see again, like, that's the only, like, and Raquel's not ready for that. So, like, yeah, it's whoever it ends up being is going to be a little out of nowhere.
Yeah, they're in some odd spots right now.
But a lot of it's going to get cleared up here in less than a month when they head up to the Elimination Chamber in Toronto. We dive into some of the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. What's number one this
week? All right, we'll start with a little clip from our friends at Busted Open on SiriusXM, Fight Nation, Channel 86. Here's Dave LaGreca talking about wrestling fans.
All the time. Take your five-star matches and shove them up your ass. It means dick. It means absolutely dick. You know what means everything? Jey Uso in that ring last night to start off Monday Night Raw. That is bigger and better than any you match that you can put in the ring on a show. That is the reason that we love pro wrestling, is what Jey Uso was able to do.
So, Gabe, what do you love most as a pro wrestling fan?
See, this is what I hate. And nothing against LaGreca, because he's great, right? The show's great. Don't tell me how to fan. Don't tell me what I enjoy. That's great that you enjoy that. Like, I don't want to take that away from you, right? Like, I don't want to take that away from anybody. If that's what you love about pro wrestling, and look, I love that moment too. But don't try to tell me that five-star matches, oh, that means absolutely nothing. Like, don't you can't, no, you can't, because if the wrestling meant nothing, then why do they have the matches? Like, it all works together. Like, it all has to come together. Because here's the thing, like, if Jey Uso wins the Rumble and then goes out and puts on, and again, it doesn't have to be a five-star match, but if he puts on a half-star match, like, he's that terrible in the ring, it doesn't work. Right. Like, it has to all come together. Like, again, it doesn't have to be a five-star match. But again, and there are Bryan Danielson when he was Dan. I think it was when he was Daniel Bryan, because he was when he was still with WWE. I think, you know, he. I don't know if the question was like, how does someone like him and someone like Big Show, how does that work in the same company? And I think he described it perfectly. Like, it's a variety show. Like, you try to get different things. Like, you can't have every story be the same and every match be the same. You want to have different things for different people so you can draw the biggest audience, right? Like, I mean, if five-star matches don't mean anything, like, Penta shouldn't be in WWE then. Like, why did they sign him? Why did he, it's not like Penta's a great promo. Like, that was the first promo we've heard him cut in years was the first after the first match he had on Monday Night Raw. And like, but Penta, like, we haven't really heard from him since. He's been putting on great matches on Monday Night Raw because they got 2.5 hours to fill. But apparently that means nothing. Apparently it means absolutely nothing. Like, just don't tell anybody. Again, tell me what you enjoy. That's fine, and you can enjoy it. Don't tell everybody, oh, this is what we love. This is what you should love. Like, no, I mean, pro wrestling is, like, again, like, deathmatch is not for everybody, right? But Mick Foley's a damn legend because of him. Like, Mick Foley isn't a household name without those death matches and those hardcore elements to who he was. Like, Goldberg wasn't the greatest wrestler, but he told stories. Sure, that's fantastic. Like, but Bret Hart was a great technical in-ring wrestler and put on great matches and got over with the crowd that way and was able to, shockingly, still tell great stories while putting on great matches. I don't know how Bret Hart did it. How did he do it? I have no idea. Like, I hate it when people, and this is like for anything, like when you're telling a fan how to fan, like, no, lose me. Skip over that, man. Like, I don't need to, I don't want you telling me what I can and can't enjoy.
Yep. And that's the
thing. You lose me on that.
And what I don't get is why, like, people don't just manage their expectations differently. Like, we have two companies that are distinctly different right now.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, it adds to the tribalism whole factor, right? Like, we've got everybody out there, you know, like every pro wrestler out there, like, you've got the Matt Cardonas of the world going, man, like, why are you rooting for this company to fail? Right. Like, why are you, what, like, no, this is good for everybody. And it's good for people like Busted Open, because the more content is, the more stuff there is to talk about. Like, you don't have to, don't add to the tribalism, man. Like, it just, I that's what drives me nuts, is when people try to tell me.
Yeah, and because also, like, I like how different they are. Like, I feel like we wouldn't watch as much pro wrestling if it was the same thing all 20 hours a week. There is a lot of pro wrestling to consume. WWE is sports entertainment. AEW is pro wrestling. And that's fine. Like, as long as you know what you're getting going into it, you sit down for an AEW pay-per-view, you're going to get 4 to 5 five-star matches. Sometimes you might get 8. You sit down for a WWE one, you're going to get 1 or 2. And that's fine. And that's the world we live in. Like, as much as I don't love the fact that Jey Uso is going to be in a big spot at WrestleMania, yes, it's a good story. Yes, they finally pulled the trigger on someone that was over. We have been screaming for years, like, hey, this LA Knight guy is really over. Maybe we should do something. Nah. Hey, Sami Zayn. Hey, Matt Cardona, Zach Ryan, Rusev. Anyone. Insert name here. And they just never pulled the trigger. They've pulled the trigger. They're moving on. The favorite part to me is what happens in the ring. Like, I enjoy AEW more because it's pro wrestling. That doesn't mean I'm just going to completely tune out of the WWE, because it has that mixed in. And I've seen the jokes on Twitter directed at LaGreca, where he talks about, oh, the storytelling is what matters. And there were jokes like, wait till he finds out there's TV shows where there's stories like this and no wrestling. And you can get all of that in one. Like, that's the world we live in.
That's the thing. Like, again, the stories get you hooked to buy the pay-per-view. And then the pay-per-view, notice how in the pay-per-views or PLEs, whatever you want to call them, like, there's not a ton of promos the way there are on television. No, because the matches are settled in the ring. And guess what? You can tell stories within the ring as well.
Right.
Like, again, so it's just, to me, it's the marriage of everything coming together. Like, you have to make it all make sense when it comes together. And that's what, you know, kind of puts everything over to me. Like, if you're having good matches and you're having the good promos and good storytelling, and that honestly, like, that's why WWE is so over right now, because it has a good mixture of everything. Right. Like, toward the end of the Vince era, like, the storytelling was crap. The in-ring product was crap. They weren't giving anybody a lot of time. But for like a 5-year stretch, like, the highest rated segment of Monday Night Raw wasn't a Roman Reigns promo. It wasn't Seth Rollins going off in the back. No, it was an hour-long match that they had. They had, they put on like an hour-long. They had a gauntlet match. It was an hour-long like gauntlet match. It was like the highest rated segment of Raw. Like, it all has to fit together. And yes, you're waiting for those moments for your guy to win, right? Right? Because if your guy doesn't win, because he has to win in the ring, like, then everything else doesn't matter. Like, it's all a circle and it has to fit
and
together.
I just don't.
And if it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't get why it's like specific to pro wrestling fans and that, like, the rooting against. Like, when it comes to TV shows, like, if you're watching Game of Thrones, you're not also hoping, like, oh man, I hope no one watches Severance tonight. Like, why can't we just all enjoy our type of thing?
Well, because the problem is, I think, with a lot of pro wrestling fans, is they think that, like, if they're, like, I'm a Packers fan, right? I'm in Wisconsin, I'm a Packers fan. So whatever one my favorite is, that's the Packers, and the other one's the Bears. But that's not it.
Right.
Like, these aren't sports teams.
Right.
These are TV shows. Like, these are TV shows. Yeah. So, yeah. Do you enjoy drama? Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead. We'll go and watch Severance. And then if you want to keep it on, you know, watch, Shrinking. Oh, both shows are good. That's good for everybody. Like, so I just, yeah, it frustrates me that, now we've got this coming. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, according to Joseph, AEW is not wrestling, dumbass. So, you know, there's that also.
Yeah, again. Or you can just, you know, continue to crap on somebody for what they enjoy.
It's just,
I guess we can do that.
Very weird. And, like, it's funny seeing the discourse especially magnified this week, because the internet's not a real place. And the bulk of the internet is not into the Jey Uso story. If you go off of clicks on YouTube, most of them are thumbs down. But then you see that arena and you see him go through that half hour entrance, and you know Mania is going to be a 4.5 hour entrance.
He had to start the music over again.
You know how long that Mania entrance is going to be? Like,
he's going to be gassed by the time the match starts. He's going to be so gassed.
You cannot have.
I hope the cardio, and he's in good shape, man, but he's got to up the cardio. If you're going to be eating all the way down, however long that aisle's going to be at Mania.
Like, unless you want Mania to be 19 hours, Jay and Roman matches have to be on separate nights. Because those entrances, it just won't work.
Yeah, no, it just, the timing doesn't work. Timing doesn't work. Although, see, okay, what about this idea? What if we main event Jay Uso night one? And then we kick off night two with Roman, but we start the Roman entrance after night one.
That's fair.
So Roman, by the time we get ready for night two, then Roman's entrance is done, and we're ready.
It's Vegas. Everyone's used to being up all night. There's no clocks in the casinos. It'll work. It's Vegas. We're good to go.
Oh, it's absolutely, yeah. So I get that. I wish we didn't have this, and I know pro wrestlers continue to harp on it, and I couldn't agree more. Like, the tribalism that exists within professional wrestling just drives me crazy.
And especially when you see the actual wrestlers in the ring on social media celebrating each other. Like, the amount of tweets happy for Jey Uso last week. Like, wait, you work for the other side. You can't do that. It was actually a tweet from MJF I saw last night, because everyone's like, oh, you mentioned Cody. And I believe it's a former WWE referee. I forgot who tweeted at him. And MJF said, hey, your former boss brainwashed you into thinking that we're not allowed to, you know, act like another company exists. It does. Like, that's life. And it's a good point.
Well, but again, it's just because the tribalism exists. But anytime CM Punk or Cody share the ring with a little wink and a nod about the place they used to work, we just look past it, right? Like, it's Dustin Rhodes. Yeah. Like, he didn't mention, WWE champion Cody Rhodes, who's going to be going into WrestleMania. Like, you know, he just mentioned that somebody is a brother of somebody else.
And if you know, great, it adds to the story. If you don't, it went over your head, and that's fine.
I don't get it. I just cannot wrap my head around it. But maybe the guy who just called, you know, wrestling and AEW ass, maybe he can explain it to me at a later date. But I doubt that he can. All right, what do we got at number two?
All right, let's move on to the world of AEW, mentioning MJF. What's the better story right now, the Death Riders or MJF?
Jesus.
Two marquee storylines.
They are. And here's the they are two marquee storylines. And like, I see, but you see like the bones of things that have some good in them right now in AEW. Okay. Like MJF, like the best part of MJF last night was his stare down with Hangman.
Right.
It wasn't Dustin coming out. Like it's they keep teasing this Hangman thing. You're like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. Where's it going to go? And MJF just gets, you know, keep getting distracted with the elderly. And
it's MJF legend killer. We've never seen this before.
Dustin was okay last night, I guess. The problem is, like, Dustin came out of nowhere. I don't watch ROH. So I'm not a member of Honor Club.
He got two belts there.
So he does have two belts. He's a trios champ and he's a tag team champ. So he's got that going for him. But I don't even know the last time I saw him on television is the problem. So for him to come out and, okay, all right, I guess we could. Because the problem is, like, I know this isn't going to go anywhere. Right. Like, MJF, if he has a match against Dustin Rhodes, they're going to have the match, and then Dustin Rhodes is going to disappear from my television, and we're going on to something better. So I guess I lean towards Death Riders, just because, and maybe because there was one, like, little detail that I caught last night to start off the show that I really enjoyed. Because they start off as everybody's walking in, and Renee's standing there, and she's interviewing Jay White, and the numbers, you know, they had closed, you know, they're going to trap the Death Riders. And Marina Shafir, just right before the brawl starts, walks over and just picks up Renee and walks off camera. Like, clearly, Mox is saying, hey, make sure my wife, you know, doesn't get hurt in this. Marina protects, you know, protect Renee. She picked her up and took her off camera. And I thought that was enjoyable. That's probably the most enjoyable thing I've had between either segment.
No, I agree. I think, to me, the one thing that's sort of getting me into Death Riders right now is there a world where Jay White ends up as world champion at the end of this? Maybe.
So you're telling me Cope does not beat Mox at Revolution?
And then Darby's busy climbing Everest.
Well, I don't know if we're ever seeing Darby again. So let's just move past
Jay it. White's front and center. He's pretty over right now. Maybe.
Then maybe he's, I mean, if he's the one who ends up challenging Mox, like we have to end the Death Rider story. So like Mox has got to eat a pin at Revolution. Like that's just, I think, because again, like there are some interesting things going on within AEW right now that I'm enjoying. Obviously Harley Cameron's killing it. Like just absolutely like just an MVP. Didn't know she could be a ventriloquist.
Very impressive.
But very impressively so, like then wanting to flip off Mercedes Moné and Renee, just making sure she hides it. That whole thing was enjoyable. She picked up her first TV win on Collision.
By the way, Renee is so damn good at everything she does. Yes. Like, she's such an asset to that company.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She helps that, like, really anything Hangman does right now. I hope he gets away from Max Caster, just like squashes him like everybody else and moves on to whatever. But I think Hangman's really interesting right now. I'm curious where Samoa Joe and Hook goes now that they're back together, just because I'm a big fan of Samoa Joe and I'm hoping he can get some rub off onto Hook, who has some potential, a lot of unrealized potential right now in AEW. So there are good things. There's some good, like subtle things that they're building. They just need to move past some of these other storylines and get to them.
I mean, Kenny and Mike getting the belt off, like, in a big spot.
Yeah.
Like, everything they're doing is working.
But for the love of, well, except for the love of God, if you're going to give Kenny Pyro for his catchphrase, let the man know.
I obviously, let the they let know. Someone know so that Don Callis and them weren't standing there when it went off. So that was good. That could have been an issue.
Because it was excessive. Yes. It was excessive.
And I guess on the bang. The annoying part is that, like, these two storylines seem to just be overshadowing everything, and they're the glaring ones right now. I feel like the Jarrett part, which is a big part of the MJF, like, they mistimed it when Jarrett got over during the Owen, thinking like it was Jarrett getting over as opposed to it specific to the Owen. Like, it was like, oh, this is a feel-good story. There were partners. There's that Jarrett promo. It's not that we want to see Jarrett every week. It was literally just for that moment.
Just for that, yeah, because that tournament, yes, exactly, meant something to Jarrett more than anybody else. And so, yeah, it's and the same thing with Rhodes. Like, I mean, MJF, it just feels like it's a waste of everybody's time. Both of these things just seem like they're a waste of everybody's time right now. And talent.
Right.
Because there's a lot of talent within the Death Riders that just doesn't work together right now.
They're still the Trios champs.
Yeah.
Okay. I think. Glad we have those belts.
Yeah, probably don't
need them. Yeah, I guess those don't exist either. Are those also in the briefcase? Do they all fit in that briefcase?
That'd be impressive. Impressive. Make some sort of Harry Potter briefcase to fit all those championships in there.
I saw someone point out it's amazing. During the Rumble pre-show, someone had an AEW title, so it has now been seen more on WWE television over the last couple months than it had AEW. So there's a win.
Yeah, again, like when it comes to Death Riders, there was a lot of potential that was just squirt. I don't know who to blame for that. I wish I knew who to blame for that so I could blame them. Ultimately, it comes down to Tony, so I guess I blame Tony for it. Because he's the one who ultimately makes the decisions, right? Like a head coach, maybe he doesn't call the offensive plays, but if your offensive coordinator screws up, guess who is coming back on you. So it makes me upset as a Mox fan, because I felt like the BCC and the Death Riders had so much untapped potential. And maybe BCC got undercut because Regal ended up leaving, you know, halfway through it, and it couldn't realize it because you had some strong people there, but yeah, this ain't it, man. We just gotta. Mark Chimura, who I do a show with, 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee, our Jen Gabe and Chewy show. Former Packer, and he played for the Packers when Ron Wolf, who's a Hall of Famer, was the general manager. And one of the things he always said about Ron is he knew how to pivot off when he made a mistake. Like, if he drafted a player that wasn't right or picked up a player that wasn't right, they quickly moved on, and that's why the Packers had some success in the 90s. Like, when you got something that's not working, you got to pivot off of it quickly. And that's why I think Mox has to lose as soon as possible.
Do you think that you mentioned Brian? Like, it feels like ages ago, but this reign started when Mox ended Brian. Do you think that's part of the reluctance to pivot off of it right now? It's like, no, we really need a big payoff. Like, he's the one that ended Brian's career. And that's why they're being so stubborn right now.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, look, you also don't want to do it, I guess, on an episode of television, right? Like, you just don't want to give it away on Dynamite. I mean, obviously they're not going to do it at Grand Slam here,
right?
You don't want to do it on a taped show. So I think you want to do it at the pay-per-view because that's when it's going to be the most eyes and have the chance to really go over. So I just think it needs to be done by Revolution, and hopefully we can tell some more interesting stories around that championship going
on. We're about a month out, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that's the good news, right? And February is a short month. It's a short month. Hey, so we got that going for us, which is nice. So, yeah, because it'll be 4 weeks from Sunday.
Okay.
What do we got at number
three? We've talked about WrestleMania. We are on the road to it a few months away. I booked a flight to Vegas. You have four people to main event the two nights of Mania. So you have two one-on-one matches. Which four are you putting in the main event of Mania right now?
So that's where, because Jay is so over, right? Like, so that's where we teased it over. I put Jay Uso versus Cody.
Okay.
And there's still something that tells me, like in the back of my mind, the biggest match WWE can do right now is Roman versus Punk.
Okay.
So I guess I put those four. A lot of baby faces there, not a lot of heels. But those are just the four biggest. And like Roman and Punk can exist in that tweener territory where it doesn't matter as much. But that was the four I ultimately wrote down. Roman versus Punk, Jay versus Punk.
So the issue is, and the math is always going to math in this situation, there are so many situations where someone is left out. And I know we might get triple threat, and maybe that's the way you cover it. I went Roman Rollins, Punk being the one left out, and Cody Cena as the title match, and that's the marquee, and you have a story there.
Does Cody Cena actually excite you, though?
No. But it excites WWE fans.
Does it?
Those are the two faces. Those are the two pillars. And it's the battle of generations. And
sure, but record.
I don't know.
I mean, Cody really didn't get much of a reaction when he won the championship.
No, it's almost like everyone wanted KO to win.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I look, and Cody's very good, right? So I don't want all these Cody fans coming after me. But it just kind of feels like his time's this run's over. Like, and I also want to get past this thing where like the only time you can lose the WWE championship is at WrestleMania, because that's kind of boring. That makes everything else kind of insignificant. That makes literally 3/4 of your year uninteresting. Like the only quarter that's interesting is the Rumble up until Mania. Like, so I think we have to get past that. So I'm, and look, at this point, we just talked about it. Cody's not going to be dropping that championship before WrestleMania. Right. And if he drops it at Mania, assuming Cena ends up being the one he faces, which means Cena's going to have to pin somebody for the first time in a very long time.
It's just weird, though, because like Cody's going to have that spot. He's had the spot the last 2 years now, right? Roman, the last 2 years.
Yeah, this will be his third in a row.
So you're almost taking away that like Rollins might not be in a main event. Punk might not be in a main event. We haven't talked about it.
Oh, Roman.
Roman.
Roman Reigns, Punk's not going to be a main event.
But Roman doesn't need a main event. Roman's had 17 straight main events. Like,
correct.
Punk needs one. Rollins needs one. Drew, who we haven't talked about, who reportedly stormed off and is pissed off about his nothing match at Mania. He deserves a Mania main event. Like, is it the right move to almost say like, all right, well, Cody's got one of those spots? Or are they doing it just because they feel like they have to at this point?
Kind of feels like they have to. And look, I mean, again, he's over. He sells a lot of the merch. But again, it's going to be interesting to see how crowds continue to react to Cody.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested in, is how are crowds going to continue to react to Cody Rhodes? And we'll see tomorrow night when he shows up on SmackDown with that championship, if he's going to get any sort of reaction. If Jey Uso shows up and if they have any sort of face-to-face. I'm genuinely curious. Because I know I'm in the minority and like, okay, I'm kind of over Cody right now, would like to see somebody else. I know I'm in the minority there. But seeing that reaction and what he got as part of the ladder match that they had at Royal Rumble, it just makes me wonder, okay, were they more kind of concerned that KO might have been hurt? Mm. Was the crowd just thinking that Sammy was going to run in and somehow be a part of it because he was out there? And like they were just confused that, oh, okay, I guess it's over. You know, like, I mean, that happens sometimes in pro wrestling where it's like, oh, I guess we're done here now. We're done with this match. We're moving on to the next one. So I'm genuinely curious to see what happens with Cody and some of the reactions he gets.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like, we talked about Saturday. Jay, when he wins the belt at Mania, is going to be a moment. It's going to blow the roof off that place. Everyone's going to be excited. The other matches, like if it's Punk Roman, even if it's the triple threat where I feel like they throw Rollins in there so he's the one eating the pin, what is the reaction at the end of that match when the fans are confused and don't know who to cheer for?
I don't know, because that's the thing. Like, the triple threat is now being like actually reported on. Like, oh, this is the plan. All right, I am genuinely curious how you're going to make me care about this. Because you can make me care about any combination of those three in a one-on-one match and make it make sense. And you could get, like, you don't really need much storytelling for Roman Reigns. Don't need much of it. Sells itself, right? And especially with all the legwork that they've kind of dug. Punk Roman. Yep, I can understand that. Rollins Punk. Can understand that. But a triple threat?
Yeah.
With no championship on the line? When two of those three are like all about championships and that's what their characters are based off of? And now Roman's not really around for the next month to kind of sell whatever feud that's going to be?
Yeah, that's an odd spot. I mean, Rollins is the one. He's at Radio Row right now. He's out there front and center for the company. Like,
yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Hell yeah, Seth. Like, go get the Hulkster.
Yeah, he had some comments there. Very interesting by him. He won some people over today.
Yeah, you know, he just thinks that people get what they deserve, yep. And the Hulkster got that.
Or as, you know, other stuff, as him and McAfee talked about this week, Hogan and McAfee. That's why he got booed. There's some other stuff there. So,
yeah, really owning it. The blatant racism.
Right, yes.
The blatant racism. Yes, that is the blatant racism is why he got booed. Because, again, like, and people still, it's funny because I see people online reacting, thinking it's political. Like, no, Hulk.
Yes.
Hulk and Undertaker share some very similar political views. Guess who gets cheered every time he shows up at WWE events? It's Undertaker.
Even the Undertaker acknowledged this week, like, oh yeah, it makes sense that Hogan got booed. Like, you know, there's some stuff he has.
Yeah, like that's the thing.
Like, all right.
Come on, people. He sees it. This isn't that hard to figure out. Not that hard.
So there's that.
But I digress.
I just feel like the way manias are, like, they're going to be long nights. And again, outside of the J match, it just feels like you need something to end the night. Like last year was perfect where you had the tag match night one where it's like, all right, you're excited. You're into it. People want Cody to finish. So you need to figure out what's going to happen for night two. Cody winning is the ultimate moment. Outside of Jay winning, it feels like it's sort of empty of moments right now that could ultimately, you know, decide Mania and be the story of Mania weekend.
Does Cena winning the 17th championship do it for you?
Because
that's, again, as we sit here right now, if I had to put money on something of how we're ending WrestleMania 41, it's John Cena holding the 17th championship over his head.
And that's night two?
That's night two. Okay, Cody versus Cena ain't night one, I'll tell you that.
That feels like a letdown. Like, even depending on the rest of the night, that feels like one of those where people are like, yeah, you know what, maybe we could beat traffic. Because we talked about it earlier, like in terms of five-star matches, like it'll be good, Cody and Cena, and those guys are professionals. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a five-star. It'll be a good match.
No. Yeah, it'll be solid. Yeah.
The same way with Jane Gunther. Like we saw it a couple weeks ago. It was a good match. Like you're not going to get this, oh, I want to see that again. Like, you know, we're probably going to have a KO and Sammy. We know what those guys are going to do. Rhea versus whoever is going to do that.
But again, like Jay going over, like they're going to do some storytelling behind that. And it's going to make you feel it, and that's why, right? And I just don't know what the story necessarily behind Cody Cena would be to really get me invested. Even the way where, like last year with Cody, like everybody was invested, and it was just such a feel-good moment with everybody showing up because you knew those people had to show up in order to have his back because it's tribal combat and all these different things for him to finally go over. Like that was such a feel-good moment. It's going to be tough to replicate that this year.
I agree. So I don't know. They have big hill to climb. And like, it's weird where like you almost have too many options that like you might be booking yourself into disappointment no matter what you decide at this point.
I really wish that one of the championships was being decided inside the Elimination Chamber instead of just another like WrestleMania spot. Because again, I just go back to neither champ. I mean, so you had the one championship defended at Rumble. Now, nothing's going to be really defended until we get to Mania.
Yeah. And that goes to your point about like, oh, yeah, Mania is the only time we see titles change.
Can't happen.
In that situation, do we see both change? Like, Jay's going over Gunther. Does that mean Cody's retaining?
I mean, we saw both change last year.
Okay, yeah.
Because technically we had three title changes at Mania last year.
Oh, that is true. We had that early,
With the cash-in. Because you had McIntyre winning and then the cash-in, and then you had Cody winning.
It's just so odd. And, like, it's not even like it's participation trophy, but, like, the amount of guys and girls that have done an amazing job this last year. Like, Rhea is deserving of a Mania main event. She doesn't have a story deserving of one right now, but the work she's put in over the last year, she deserves that spot. She's not going to get it. Drew, we'll see with Rollins and Punk. Like, it's just a lot of people that could be upset at the end of this.
Well, because it kind of seems like McIntyre and Priest are going to have something. Yeah. I don't understand Roman Rollins and Punk being a triple threat. Like, what are we doing? Triple threats that aren't for championships don't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Am I alone in that?
It just feels like a way to be like, oh, yeah, actually, like, this person's going to win.
Right. Well, because it's just doing that is kind of like the way they used to throw guys in the Andre, battle royal. Like, oh, we don't have a spot for you. But how do you feel about the Andre battle royal, huh? You get your WrestleMania moment there.
Yeah, it's just so odd. Like, I'd almost rather find a way to put a belt on one of them. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this. Do you find a way to give Roman the belt and do Roman and Jay?
Now we're cooking. I mean, like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's real interesting, but... Alas, we are not going to get that. What do we got at News and Notes this week?
All right, we talked about it on Saturday. It was one of the worst-kept secrets in pro wrestling. Jordynne Grace made her debut in the Royal Rumble, officially a WWE superstar. Yes. T's and P's
for mom. I hope she got a good amount of money for her WWE contract. I hope she got a good signing bonus so then she can at least pamper her mom for skipping her birthday so she could be in the Royal Rumble.
Well, Fightful reporting, it is a main roster deal.
That's a joke.
All right. Main roster deal, reportedly 5 years, same length as Alexa Bliss, who have re-signed a deal as well. It is believed, though, that Jordynne will start in NXT, at least for a short run.
Do we need that? Nope. Just put her on the main roster, man. Like, Penta didn't have to do that, right? Like, AJ Styles, when he came over, didn't have to do that. We've seen her do a couple of NXT things anyway with TNA. Like, I don't think she needs any time in TNA. Just put her on SmackDown on Friday night. Let's start telling stories with her right away. She's fascinating. She's fun. Like, just why are we wasting
time? And you have two mid-card women's titles now that you could throw her in and let her challenge for those and build up challengers that way. Like, why does she need to go to NXT?
Oh, Chelsea Green versus versus her at Mania?
You mean the MVP of the Rumble, Chelsea Green?
She's so good, man.
The moment where, there's a bunch of friends in the middle of the ring and she gets in the middle of it. Like, she is just amazing.
I feel like her and Harley Cameron are playing very similar roles in the respective companies. Like, Harley's at the beginning where Chelsea was a few months ago, like before the U.S. Women's Championship was even a thing. And just, like, really making the most out of the time that she got on television, like doing a dumpster match. Everything they give Chelsea, she turns to gold.
Everything. And, like, she's well-deserved of this title. I wish she had some challengers now to do some stuff with. And, like, Jordynne Grace would be perfect for that. Like, go out there, have some matches, have some fun, and let Chelsea continue to do Chelsea things.
Yeah, like, the sooner they get her up to the main event, the main roster, the better for everybody, especially in that women's division, because that's where she deserves to be.
As Chelsea pointed out, saying that she's not humble, she says, why would I be humble when I am literally the longest reigning, first ever, oldest, youngest, tallest, shortest, most beautiful United States women's champion in history?
I mean, all those accolades, it'd be hard to stay humble. I understand where she's coming from.
Well, how about some other women's division news we've announced this week? Bayley says she will be part of the NBA celebrity game. That is happening next week. She will play for Jerry Rice's team. She also told the media this week it's time for Evolution 2 pay-per-view. We saw WWE do it a few years ago at this point, a women's only pay-per-view. She said it's time for number 2.
I mean, they've got enough talent to do it. Yes. Especially if you continue to borrow a couple people from TNA and have a couple people from NXT come up, like they could certainly do it if they want. I don't know if they feel like it's necessary at this point because now they've had some women main event WrestleMania, yeah. main event other PLEs. So I don't know if they feel like they need that. But look, I mean, could they put on a hell of a show? Absolutely. If they decided to do one. As for Bayley, makes sense. She's from San Francisco, all-star game out there. I think The Miz has participated in the past. Like there's usually, there's been some through lines for some pro wrestlers, being in this. So I'm excited for her. Hope she gets a couple buttons.
Another Rumble surprise. Joe Hendry, the TNA champion, made his way there. He was on Ariel Helwani this week, said, quote, "Is it that out of the question to think that maybe the TNA champion could show up at WrestleMania?" He's also been very outspoken about wanting a one-on-one match with John Cena, which he says will happen this year.
So I doubt it happens because I doubt that they're going to, because I think Cena said he had, 36 dates?
Like that, yeah.
So that's down to 34 because he was there for Mania. He was there he was there for the Rumble. He was there for Netflix debut and that. But also, is the most interesting thing they could do with Cena put him up against Joe Hendry at WrestleMania? Yeah, that's probably the most interesting thing they could do.
How does that work on the world title count if Cena beats Hendry for the TNA title at Mania?
I'm guessing it counts.
That Mania, it's another company, but sort of a pseudo company now. Like,
Well, but like, because don't they count some of Ric Flair's NWA championships as part of the 16? Yeah, I'm not quite sure like what the 16 are for, because it's more than 16, but they only recognize 16. It's very strange. But honestly, like seriously though, Hendry versus Cena is the most interesting thing they could.
Yes, and that makes everything TNA has done with WWE completely worth it. If you get your world champion in the ring with Cena
in WrestleMania,
yeah, that too.
But the only way we probably see Hendry at WrestleMania is in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle.
Yeah, on a pre-show.
If we're being honest, because you're not going to, because WrestleMania is such a big event and you want to get so many of your workers in there. Yes, you have this relationship with TNA, but I don't think you're going to take one of the big spots you have with one of your biggest stars in Cena and give it to Joe Hendry, no matter how much I want to see it happen.
Finally, news and notes. Undertaker on Busted Open Radio talked about the streak ending at the hands of Brock Lesnar. Said, quote, "I didn't feel like Brock needed it." He also added Brock was already an attraction. He did say it would have meant a lot if Bray Wyatt had been the one to end the streak.
And they did Wyatt the next year, right?
Or was Roman?
No, I think they did Bray, because Bray still lost.
Yeah.
Because Taker got to like 22-1 and then Roman and all that sort of thing. Look, he's not alone. Right. Like it was very obvious that he wanted to pass the torch to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, sure. It went Brock,
very obvious.
Then Bray, then Shane. Don't forget that one. Then Roman.
Oh, when Shane came back and also lost, but then didn't matter that he lost. He was still a part of the family the next Monday Night Raw. That's right. Even though like him getting, you know, control back in the WWE, all depended upon that Hell in a Cell match.
Then he lost to Roman, beat Cena, and beat AJ.
Yeah, look, I think, but part of the shock was the fact that, to me, Brock Lesnar did.
Yeah.
Like, do we have that fan who's just, right. Do we have that picture and GIF? If it was Bray the following year, let's say he beats Brock Lesnar, but then gives it up and the streak ends at the hands of Bray Wyatt. It's not as shocking.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not as shocking.
I don't know. I feel like no matter who did it, it was going to be a shock. It was going to be one of those like, wait, was he supposed to count three there? Because like you just assumed like at that point, they're going to let it keep going. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure early on, it was almost an accident it even got that far when everyone does the 50-50 booking. I feel like that would have meant a lot for Bray's character. Like, just show monster he is.
Mm-hmm. But it also did a lot for Lesnar at the time.
Yeah. And then, by the time Roman beat him, I remember being in the arena for that one, and it was just, people were not happy.
Oh, and Roman got booed, man.
I've left plenty of sporting events where everyone's just pissed off and grumbling going down the escalators. That's what that felt like. So that was fun.
What did you have for your matches of the week?
I gotta go Monday. Amazing that somehow was the first time ever, but Punk versus Sammy delivered.
Punk Sammy.
How was that the first time ever? Sammy.
They just kind of never crossed paths in ROH, and then Punk was in WWE, and it took Sammy a while to get to NXT. And by the time even Sammy was in NXT, like, Punk was gone. And
it's so odd, but those two delivered. I'm still curious to see what Sammy's thing is. I guess it's him and KO, and not that it's a nothing match, because anytime those two are in the ring together, we know it's going to deliver. But I don't know. I just feel like there was something else. I wish there was just a little bit more for Sammy and KO when it comes to Mania.
Well, again, Sammy and KO for the belt would have been everything, but they were never going to do that, obviously. And this is really the first time to me that, okay, KO's got some splaining to do. Because everything else, like, look, I've been Team Kevin. Kevin was right. All that when it comes to Cody. Sammy came out to check on you, and now you come out and you beat the crap out of him on Monday Night Raw?
That's true.
It's interesting.
Another match from Raw. I didn't love the ending, but EO versus Liv. I thought that match was pretty good.
Yeah, the ending was kind of, yeah. Ricochet Swerve last night, main event. Shocker, right? Shocker that Ricochet versus Swerve were able to put on a good
match. We talk about some of the issues in AEW, but like, Ricochet is a win in the AEW booking department right now. What they've made him into, the character development, we know what he can do in the ring, but he's a legit heel right now. He gets heat. He's telling stories, taking the robe last night. So obviously there's other layers to this, like, hell of a job with Ricochet.
Oh, yeah. And it's really the first time in a long time he's kind of been a character. Because even with WWE, he was just like, oh, he'll go out there and just have a match. Right? Like, he was basically what Andrade is right now on SmackDown. Oh, we got to fill some minutes. All right, Andrade, go out there and wrestle.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I'm not complaining because Andrade is going to, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be good. But that's basically all he was. They didn't necessarily build up anything for Ricochet in WWE. And it took him a while to build up something and for him to be a heel in AEW.
Do we see them again at the pay-per-view?
My guess is we probably see them again in Australia.
Oh, so that's next week.
Yeah, a week from Saturday, right?
The other one from last night, talk about, guys, anytime they're in the ring, it works. The Hounds of Hell, which House of Black, whatever, versus Fletcher and Takeshita.
Are they ever going to let those guys
win?
Like, I mean, it's just, like, I feel like they're so over.
Yes.
Everybody is barking, and, like, I don't even know the last time they won. I know he won a couple of times in the Continental Classic, but, like, come on, man, can we just get these guys over and start building them some momentum?
Every time those two are in the ring, singles or tag, like, it just works. And, like, I don't understand it. Like, it's, yes, Hurt Business as tag champs I think could be good. Let these guys get a run with the tag champs. Hell, I'd even let Buddy go over Okada and give him a run as a singles champion. And I think we see that next week. But, like,
and then let Brody be the heater? Like, works for me. Just keep these guys on my television and let them start 100%. Winning,
100%. And same thing with Takeshita and Fletcher at this point. Like, I assume they're going to lose next week. But, like, those two have really stepped up, really delivered every time they're in the ring. And Takeshita is a singles champion right now. But, like, just continuing to grow these young wrestlers has been cool to see.
Yeah, it really has been. But yeah, there were some pretty good matches to get through throughout the course of the week. Again, if you want to see our full reaction to the Royal Rumble, check out our post-Royal Rumble show on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. If you missed J-Hood this week, he'll have plenty of takes, I'm sure, talking about a lot of the same things. Busted Open Radio coming up on Sunday. You can catch J-Hood there from 9 to noon Eastern time. Been a lot of fun and a lot of questions that need to be asked in AEW and WWE. Hopefully we have some more of those answers coming to you next week right here on GKW.